Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. Let's see. Phil, read Genesis 24, 12 through 14. IL, Genesis 24, verse 12. Nathan, Psalm 88, 13. Edgar, Psalm 37, 23. David Cutter, Proverbs 4, 18. And then Will, 24, 12, the second time. A lot of books are written about success, how to be a success. Lots of, all different levels of life. The story we're going to read is Eleazar. He was a servant, and he's a very good picture of a disciple. So we're going to see, how did he find success in what God called him to do? So this lesson is how to be a success. Genesis 24, we're just going to read verse 12 through 14.
Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher, that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed to your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master.
Okay, how to be a success. Let's talk about daily success. There is a tendency in life to get caught up in the big picture. I've had people that they are tormented with, what is God's ultimate will for my life? Where will God's will take me? What nation? What city? How will I know? That's often a huge thing. How am I going to know? And many times this is overwhelming. Is what am I supposed to be doing 5 years from now? How am I ever going to get to the place where God wants me to be if I don't even know what it is? And they're really hung up on the big picture. This story tells a very simple and powerful principle in finding God's will for your life. It's found in verse 12, 24, 12.
Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master, Abraham.
Okay, notice he's not asking for the ultimate plan. He's not asking, how is this girl going to fit into the entire purpose of worldwide redemption? That's not what he's asking. He's not asking, what is my part 20 years from now? He says, give me success this day. So, very simple truth, and that is destiny is daily. I'm going to do the will of God ultimately, but destiny is give me success today. That's how you find success. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Of course, we're hoping that you choose to serve God 5 years from now. But really, you want to succeed in serving God, choose it today. Give us this day our daily bread. What am I going to know in the Word of God 10 years from now? Who cares? Give us this day our daily bread, because destiny is daily. This story tells us that relationship with God should be daily. Manna, a 40-year visible picture of what relationship with God is supposed to be like. It is supposed to be daily. And the manna showed up every morning. Prayer should be daily. Psalm 88, 13.
But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Okay, in the morning. That's why we have prayer in the morning. If you want to find out what God has for your life 5 years down from the road, don't worry about it. This day, just have relationship with God, daily relationship, is where that will begin. Then obedience should be Daily, the question is not what should you do 5, 10, 20 years from now. The question is, what should you be doing today to carry out God's will? Eleazar was given instructions that he could carry out that day. Number one, don't take a wife from Canaan. That was his first instruction. Number two, get the right girl. That always helps if you're going to get married. Get the right girl. If she rides a broom, that's a bad sign. Thirdly, don't take Isaac back to Nahor. Those were his instructions. So he said, today, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to find the right girl in the right place. That's what I can do today. So this is true. You woke up this morning. Today, you can pray. Today, you can read your Bible. Today, you can witness. Today, you could study. At church, you want to be a man of God? Don't worry about what you're going to do 10 years from now. What should every disciple be focused on? Visitors and new converts. That's what you should focus on today. Will it be Uzbekistan or will it be Mongolia? Who cares? How about today, just worry about visitors, new converts? That's daily success, because destiny is daily. Great men have great habits. Okay, I'd like my life to make great impact. But great men have great habits. And you don't get to decide your future. You don't get to decide, this is where I'll be 10 years from now. But every man, you know, there are things you can't choose. There, you know, in a lot of different ways, you may not be able to choose financial status or what's going to happen in the economy, certain things about health. There's all kinds of things you can't choose. You can choose your habits, and you can choose them every single day, because destiny is daily. Let's talk secondly, moving from the known to the unknown. Here's the second part of success. There is so much about the future that we don't know. Part of memorial stones, I'm just looking through old photos. Came across an old photo of Lisa and I last night, and I was looking at that thinking, I had no idea what the future was going to hold. We were engaged to be married, weren't married yet. We had no idea what the future would hold. So the question is, how do you get to a future that you can't see? How do you get there? I had no idea that I'd be in Launceston, Tasmania, Melbourne, Australia, Johannesburg, South Africa, here on staff, evangelize. I had no idea of any of that. So how do you get there if you can't see it, if you don't know what it is? That's often the question people ask about death. They're hung up like, I would do it if God would just tell me. And they're hung up on the fact that God isn't saying. So the Bible gives the second principle. The first one has to do with success is daily. The second one here, you move from the known to the unknown. Psalm 37, 23.
The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life.
Okay, steps. Life is all about steps. And so Eleazar did what he knew. Personally, this story fascinates me because I know people, they really would like to matchmake. They would really like, you should marry him, you should marry her, you should. I would hate that job. I feel sorry for Eleazar. You got to travel all this way, you got to pick a wife and come back, because you know if it goes bad, who's he going to blame for the rest of his life? Isaac's going to blame. Literally the woman you gave me, right? So he did what he knew. What do I don't know who it is. I do know I'm not supposed to find her in Canaan. I'm supposed to get the right girl. There were certain parameters there, from the right place. So I'll do that. When he did what he knew, that is what unlocked the unknown future. You move from the known to the unknown. You'll never get to the unknown if you're not doing what you know. That's why the mistake of waiting, I will do it when God shows. No, do what you know, then he'll show you what you don't know. In our story here, it also says, known obedience is logical. I've met a lot of kooky Christians through the years, and they're like, the Lord spoke to me. I met a guy in Holland. He was telling me about his, he watched some video on of an old dead guy that casts out demons. And so he says, my daughter, I sent her to do her homework and she wasn't, so I cast a demon out of her. I'm like, why are you telling me this? I'm like, how useful? I'm just going to cast a demon of no homework. I don't know what the name of that was. That's kooky and illogical. Known obedience is logical. Find a good wife. He's looking for a wife who's nice, not mean. Write that one down. If you're not married, that's powerful. Right? If I can meet a nice girl in the right place, I'm not looking for her at the palace bar. Right? I'm not looking for her at the nightclub. I'm looking in the right place. I'm looking for the right girl. There's something. It's logical. This is true for you. You want to find God's will for your life. There's some logic involved in this. You need to pray. You'll never have destiny if you don't pray. You need to study. The very first thing I did when I felt called to preach, I immediately started reading my Bible. And as soon as I could, I started studying the Bible, because if I'm going to be a preacher, it would probably help if I know the Bible, right? That's logical. Witness. I want to preach someday, but you never go on outreach. That's just not going to work. How do you think, if you have an empty building in a city where you don't know anybody, how the heck do you think those people get in there? They do this, wake up, I must go to the potter's house. You got to go find them. You got to witness. You better learn that now. You got to work with people. That's my wife and I, when we got serious, we're going to do the will of God. We started working with new converts. How can I be involved in their life? Because you learn powerful lessons. And so Eleazar used logic. If you came to town in those days, where would you be likely to find young unmarried girls? At a well. Because it was the young single girls, it was their job to draw water. That's logical. I see disciples, they're illogical. They use no law. I want to preach, but you don't pray. I want to preach, you don't witness. You're not working with any converts. That doesn't make sense. Known obedience is a test. So I want to know what's going to happen in 5 years. God puts some things that are logical in front of you, and they're a test. Daily manna was a test of trust and obedience. God could tell every day, do you trust me? Because he said, don't gather any for tomorrow. So it was a test. God won't show you what you don't know if you don't do what you do know. Proverbs 4:18.
But the path of the just is like the shining sun. Shines ever brighter
into
the perfect day.
Okay, this is how you move from the known to the unknown. I got up stinking early this morning. I went out and took a picture of the first glow of sunrise. When I came out, it wasn't bright. It gets brighter and brighter. That's how destiny unfolds. If you're doing what you know, God will make sure to show you what you don't know. I've never had to sweat it. I've never had to sweat. Where will I be 5 years from now? I know what I'm supposed to do today, and then God makes his will plain. Final thought, confidence in God. This is how you be a success. Or you can be a success. What's clear in this story is Eleazar expected God to help. Verse 12, the second time.
That's when you pray, Lord, God of my master Abraham, help me to succeed today. Will you show your gracious love to my master Abraham?
Okay, I can't even imagine this guy having to go pick a wife. And think about this. Hi, would you like to move away from your family? You're probably never going to see them again. For this guy that you've never... There was no photos in those days. It wasn't like you said, this dude, look at him with his shirt off. He's buff. Think about that. You're going to leave your family. what girl's going to be willing to do that? Is he a serial killer? So he is saying, oh, Lord God of my master Abraham. God is going to help me. If you're doing God's will, you can expect him to help me. So he prays God, look, use him some logic. I want a nice girl. I don't want a witch. So how would I tell a total stranger at a well if she's nice? I'll ask her for water for my camels. One camel would drink 30 gallons. Remember, this is a rope in a bucket, pulling it up by hand, pouring it out. One bucket is probably a gallon, right? You're going to do that 30 times for one camel. For her to do that, she must be very nice, right? So that's what he prays. God, I'm expecting you to help me. Lo and behold, the very first girl, hey, can I have a drink? Sure. Can you water my camels? Yes, exactly. So God, help. I see God do that again and again for people that expect it. Trust God. You got to learn to trust God. You need to be developing that kind of confidence now. As we've been speaking the last few days at breakfast, is you can't have confidence in what you don't find in God's word. It's not hope. It's not, I really hope it works out. You got to know who God is. I have confidence whatever I face. I know who God is based on his word. So therefore, I expect him. I've gone to new cities. I've gone to new nations. I expect God to lead me to the people I need to know, to provide what I don't have right now. So because I'm doing his will, and that's exactly what God does. You need to be developing that right now. You don't want this to be a theory. If you had confidence in God, you could expect that in your daily travels, maybe even this afternoon, God could guide you to somebody whose heart is already opened. That's faith. You want to develop that in advance. All of these things I'm talking, you don't want to get out and go like, oh, now I need to obey. Now I need to pray. That's the mistake of guys who aren't doing it now. You want to go out with a confidence, because I saw God do this already. And he helps me. And the Bible says, this is true. Some of you are facing problems in your job, your finances, whatever. Can't you do what Eleazar did? Oh, Lord God of my master, Pastor Greg. Couldn't you develop your own faith and say, God, there's someone who can help me. There's someone who knows the answer. You have to develop that in life, a confidence in who God is. And then you live life with a full expectation. If I am doing God's will, I can expect my Heavenly Father loves me very much. He's smarter than I am. Therefore, he's going to guide me and provide what I need. Okay, let's open for some questions then. First of all, something you want to ask.
I feel like thinking too much about the distant future can be a real habit in itself. It's difficult to break. Yep. How do you train yourself to be focused on the moment?
Just got to do it, Eli. There's no special key. If your current approach isn't working, stop it. That's what you got to do. That's not working. So you can think on whatever you want to think on in life. So you got to develop mental discipline. There are things I refuse to give my brain to. I'm not going to do it. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about the future that I can't change anyway. So I'd rather focus on God. Sure.
And not just be like, I'm just going to do God's will.
Yeah, of course. And so we see all of it here, right? He's praying to God. He's expecting God. He's using logic all at the same time. It's never one. Being a man of God involves a lot of things. Being a successful Christian, there are a lot of things. You're doing it all at the same time. That's what you want to try to do. work on that. For some of us, there are things that are easier than others, but you got to work on what you're weak in. I am going to trust God, or I'm going to discipline myself, or whatever it might be. Yep. Good. David?
I've experienced godly provision like what Eliezer experienced there. Maybe not quite that extreme, but similar things in my life many times. But I always feel that, like, well, that could be the last time God helps me. You know, it's like this almost like I have faith in the moment, but then long term it ends up, I'm like, oh man, well, that was great. God really helped me there, but
right.
Will he continue to?
Sure.
Is that a reflection on Dave, what do you think I need to differently?
Well, I'd say two things. First and foremost, David, is that faith must be based on God's word. Everything I tell you, I can tell you why in God's word I believe it. Everything I pray for, it's based on God's word. So therefore, I don't have to wonder because God's word says certain things. That's number one. The second is rehearsing. The Bible is filled with rehearsing. What did God do for us? Oh yeah, he brought us through the Red Sea. Right? Over and over again. He provided in the wilderness. Yep, he defeated our enemies. Those are things that you rehearse. And so that may be for some that is consistently we doubt God. We're looking for, you know, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. There are people, they think sorrow's coming. So you learn in God's word. I train my brain in the word of God. I train my faith in the word of God. But then the other thing is, this is why I tell you stories about the past. I'm not telling you a story like, I don't want to be an old man who hasn't had anything good in 50 years. I would tell you when I was a kid how good I was on the baseball team. No, I'm telling you stories. They actually encourage me. I remember how good God is. And then, so you, if it's a pattern, you got to break it through God's word, rehearsing in that way. And then everybody, myself included, then there are situations where then I am getting stressed, you know, and that's why you want a good wife, you know. Lisa sometimes I go, did God help us here? Did God help us there? Did God help us there? I'm like, yes. Okay, all right, we're gonna believe the Lord. Yeah. Go ahead.
So where did Eleazar get this idea to ask God about this from? Would this have been something that was put into by Abraham?
Yeah. Clearly, I mean, we only know that by inference, you know. So the 318 trained servants, you know, in his own house. So clearly they would have been influenced. Everybody who came in contact with Abraham was influenced for God one way or another, right? So we would assume that's where he got it because he wouldn't know about it apart from Abraham.
And was that the first mention of someone that was seeking God's guidance?
Don't know. That's a Bible trivia question. I don't know. This is not a contest, is it, right? I would lose right now. I've been up since 3:15. My brain is tired. Not enough coffee. Somebody else.
When approaching larger goals in life, do you also break those down into smaller things that you're going to do
yep.
for specific days?
Well, I don't know about specific dates, but there is, you're talking about, Matt, let's say financial goals, you have to have specific things you do, but destiny isn't something you can break into, this is what I'll do in the next 5 years. Destiny doesn't work that way. So destiny is daily. So if you want to have this, you've got to be studying God's word. If you want to be a preacher, those are basic. Finances, there are some other things that are more, it's math, right? It's logic in that way. So some of those you can. But a lot of destiny decisions, it would have been impossible for me to say, I will prepare for you know, things I had no idea were coming. So my confidence, if I'm in daily relationship with God, God makes sure that I am prepared for an unknown future. It's in His best interest, right? That's often what I pray is I'm often praying to God like this: God, you told me to do this. It's your plan. I didn't dream it up. So therefore, I can expect you to help me to carry out your plan in that way. Yep. Somebody else.
So is it? It sounds to me. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. It's very freeing to live this way.
In some ways, yeah.
I'm very much like 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 25, 35.
Yeah. Yeah, but God has designed relationship with Him that you can't plan out. I mean, think about Abraham, how outrageous this is. Go to a land that I will show you. Imagine him selling that to his wife. Honey, God said we're supposed to go. Go where? He said he'll tell us later. I imagine me talking Lisa into that one. Oh, that's great. Let's start packing. But it's daily. Daily manna. Everything is meant to be trust. He doesn't want us to trust in us. So yes, it is freeing. In some ways it's freeing, but then for control freaks, it's tormenting. Because they got to learn to let go. What you're really saying, if you want to break it down, you're actually saying is, I'm going to trust in me. Whereas God puts you in situations, you got to trust in Him. And there's no, once you break that, it's freeing. But you might have a little OCD withdrawals in the meantime, yeah? Yeah, it could be. So, you know, there's something about, you know, you rehearse past good things, you speak out things that don't exist yet in God's word. God, you said, right? Abraham, 100 years old, God said he'd have a child. And the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So if God is able, There's something about that. It's a waste of time. It's a torment, and it blocks God. If you're one, I'm not a big what if guy. It's just that's no fun way to live. There are people always, and they know like what could go wrong, and what if, and I can't live that way. It's because I can't control it anyway. Right? That's why I rest when I fly. There are people that flying is tormenting, right? Are you aware there's 1,750,096 parts on that could break? I just don't think about it. I'm not giving my brain. I'm trusting God. So I speak. You get around me. Generally, hopefully, I'm not going to depress you. I'm going to encourage you. You get around me. I leave depression to other people who are much better at it than I am. Some people, it's a talent. It's not a talent I care for.
Just a comment. This is so anti-society, you know, that it's very refreshing.
Yeah. Yep. It's a good thing to trust God. Good. I want to go here. First of all, I'm going to give you the lesson, and then we're going to move into the church building before we leave. So take one of these and then head to the church. I get asked a lot when I travel. I preach, but I answer questions all day long. Lots of the questions have to do with guys trying to get their head around the concept of dominion. Dominion is the idea of the right to rule or determine what happens. And so one of the things that you have to recognize if you want to be a man of God, if you want to be a Christian in general, but if you want to be a man of God, is you have to sense things spiritually. There are things going on in the supernatural realm that you can't see, you can't identify on an app. And often those are, you recognize seasons. The devil can't be everywhere at once, so sometimes it's seasons of assault. You recognize that by, sometimes by how you feel, if you're not just a depressive person. Sometimes it's a season of, I got a call yesterday from a pastor. He said, for no reason, I woke up and just like I am vexed and depressed, not over anything. And this is not his normal state of life. Then by circumstances, you recognize that can be from losing new converts to financial reversals to, you know, resistance. Sometimes you feel resistance in outreach, altar calls, things that are not normal. It's clear that the devil is in the area. So the question often that guys ask me is, so then how do you establish dominion? What I try to get across to them is dominion is, it is not if you say these words. Dominion is a spirit. It's an attitude. It is simply based in God's word. I don't have to live like this. That's where the idea, this is unacceptable. If God's word said I should have one thing, if I'm experiencing something else, then this is not acceptable. Therefore, dominion is more than anything. It's an attitude. You've got to fight. I told this story. I was short. I never grew to the massive height I am today until I was 15. I was always the shortest. I had a kid that tormented me for weeks every day. And finally, all the way down the aisle of the bus, he's tormenting me, asking when we're going to fight. And I realized, if I don't get rid of this guy, he's going to do this till the day I die. And so as I stepped off the bus and he stepped off the bus, as he came down, he said, hey, Mitchell, when are we going to? And I smashed him as hard as I could. I said, that's kind of, it's aggression. You can't be a man of God. That's why there's so much fighting in the Bible. It is not if you say, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. It's just simply, I don't have to live like this. So I'm bringing you in here because the staff, we've been recognizing just a season of assault, and in particular, it's been in the staff. Numbers of the staff, pastors, wives, children have been sick. And just odd things happening. It just, I recognize that. So then you feel it in church and different ways. So, therefore, this is a visible lesson. We don't have to live like that. We rule. In church, we rule. That is, so in Dominion, I tell guys, anything I'm telling you, it's not a key. I've walked around the park where we witness. That's not a key. I lay hands on chairs sometimes. That's not a key. It's more an attitude. I'm not going to live like this. So what we're going to do is, I'm giving you a visible lesson. We are going to take dominion here. That in church today, we're going to have dominion. The devil's not going to have dominion. If he's trying to assault our church or the staff or pastors or whatever, he's not going to stop God's will. We're going to win. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray in this building that here in the altar, people are going to get saved. People walk in the door, they're going to feel the Spirit of God. And that we're going to have liberty today mm-hmm. so that people get saved, mm-hmm. that God speaks to people, and God does everything that he wants to do. Okay? Yes. So let's do that. Let's pray in the building. Okay, we're going to believe God to help us today.
Amen.
And we're going to, and then any of you that want to preach someday, if you want to change a church, start with the men. Because men are willing to fight for something if you give them a reason. You give them a cause and a good thing. And so in various different ways, you hear me, I speak dominion. I preach dominion. And sometimes I involve men in things that are just practical. This is not magic. This is not, oh, if you walk in the altar, it's a spirit. But in some way, you can do that in your own life. And you have in finances, at home, whatever. Rise up as a man of God. I'm going to take dominion as yours. And then any of you want to preach someday, raise up men of dominion. so that they go out with a clear idea. One, in one sense, it's kind of disturbing when I travel and guys ask me questions. It's clear they have never been taught on dominion, so they're actually, their task is harder, so you do that. Okay, guys, thanks. God bless you.